The name of the book is God's Hotel, A Doctor, A Hospital, and a Pilgrimage to the Heart of Medicine. It's a great pleasure to welcome Victoria Sweet to the program. Thank you very much for being with us.
Well, thanks so much for having me.
Victoria Sweet has been a physician at San Francisco's Laguna Honda Hospital for more than 20 years. How did this story come to be?
Well, there's a number of stories that go there, but the bottom line is I started at this very unusual hospital in San Francisco, which originally was the San Francisco Almshouse. And I got there because I wanted to go back to school after having practiced medicine for quite a few years to get a PhD in medical history. So I wanted to get a sense of how we'd got to where we are today. And I got there kind of accidentally. It turned out to be an incredibly interesting place to practice medicine for these past 20 years because it was kind of an interesting mixture of old-fashioned values with modern technology, and it was a very powerful way, I thought, to practice medicine. And then while I was there, the old-fashioned part of the hospital, the way it looked, got discovered, and there was a whole impetus to tear the old place down and at the same time to change the way we practiced. And that is what gave me the impetus to write the book, because I realized that if I didn't capture it on paper, no one would believe the hospital once it was destroyed.
What do you think it is about the place and the practice that is so incredible, especially when you compare it to today's standards?
Well, I would say the shortest answer I can give would be the word time. Because a little bit of an elaboration would be this. The way I got the title, God's Hotel, was because that is the way we used to, that was the name we used to call hospitals for the sick poor. The way we used to take care of patients before there was health insurance was that we had these hospitals for the sick poor that in English were called almshouses, but in French were called Hotel Dieu, and that actually means God's Hotel. And there was they grew out of the monasteries in the Middle Ages, where monks and nuns took care of the sick poor for free as part of their vocation. So it used to be that every county had an almshouse in the country, and that's the place we had to take care of the poor, the unemployed, the mentally ill, the people who fell through the cracks in the system. Anybody you didn't know what to do with, you'd send to your almshouse. And then in the 50s, they all were taken down, really, because the left felt that they weren't fair, just, and equal, and the right thought they were very expensive, except in San Francisco. So San Francisco still kept its almshouse renamed as a hospital, Laguna Honda Hospital, but it still had these old values. So, and it looked like an old-fashioned almshouse because it had been built in the 20s, so it had these long open wards, those open wards you see in the old movies. We had a chapel. We had an old-fashioned operating room. We were on 60 acres of land in the middle of San Francisco. There was gardens for patients to garden. There was an aviary so that patients could see chickens hatch from eggs, even on the wards, little animals. And those values go back to the Middle Ages, but the fundamental value was that we had enough time to take care of patients because nobody paid us any attention. So we had paper charts, and we were over the hill to the poorhouse, literally, and nobody paid us much mind. I mean, we had regulations to follow, but pretty much people were expected to do a kind job and a good job, and they did. And so that's kind of what I would say that made it so unusual, because what's happened in the last 20 years is that in the interest of efficiency, we've gotten actually less efficient in terms of actually doing for patients what it is they need, which is the doctors having enough time to do a good job, to get the right diagnosis, to get the right treatment, and for patients to have enough time to heal. And in the interest of efficiency, which is in part what's happened, time, that sort of free time, right, has gotten cut out of healthcare. And we all miss it.
You refer to it in the book as slow medicine versus fast medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And it's your time, and it's the patient's time too, isn't it?
That's right, and it's the systems time. I mean, you know, time is money, so the economists say. And I think they made a fundamental mistake, an understandable mistake, in thinking, for instance, that doctor time and nurse time was so expensive, particularly doctor time, that anything they could do to cut it out or to change it in some way, to diminish it by however many schemes that they've had, would save the system money. But what I learned at Laguna Honda, and not abstractly, but from patient to patient, was because I had enough time there, for instance, to do a really good physical exam on a patient, to contact the other docs that this patient had had and find out what they'd thought, to get old records, to talk to families, I ended up, and the rest of the docs did too, and sometimes it took us months, with the right diagnosis. And it turns out that when a doctor spends a couple of hours with you, that's not very expensive compared to the doc having 3 minutes to spend with you and therefore having to order all of these expensive tests and expensive CAT scans and MRIs because they don't have enough time to really get in there, examine you, talk to you, and get all this background. So I ended up calling it slow medicine because it seemed to me it was a lot like the slow food, what happens with slow food, right? You can, and in a way, the slow food, fast food provides an interesting parallel to slow medicine, fast medicine, from my point of view. Because, you know, fast medicine, you end up with the same vitamins, in theory, same minerals, the same protein, the same chemicals, but you don't end up with the same experience, and fundamentally, you don't end up with the same result, not really. Same thing with slow medicine. So I ended up calling what we did at Laguna Honda slow medicine, not so much that we did things slowly on purpose, but that it was... It had the same kind of value and difference between fast medicine, which is also, you know, I would never give up what I'm calling fast medicine, you know, modern medicine. There are extraordinary advances we've made in the past 100 years. But what I learned is that it's not an either-or situation, that fast medicine works great for the things it works great for. So if you have an appendicitis, you don't want Dr. Sweet coming in with slow medicine, right? You
right.
want a surgeon, and you want that thing out. But after you've had your appendectomy, then you need some time. And a lot of times, you need to make sure that the medications you were given during your fast medicine procedure are gradually taken away from you, that somebody's there checking the surgical wound, that they're making sure that you're getting the right foods and the right care, and that you have enough time to heal properly. And so I think they're really, it sort of fell off the back of the truck while we've been delivering healthcare like it's a commodity.
You have this wonderful depiction in the book of going in and visiting a patient and making a list. Just sitting down and making a list of the things that needs to be done. This is what you would do if you were reorganizing your kitchen, or this is what you would do when you're making a list to find out the things that you need to do over a summer. And to give yourself time and to make that list. And you can juxtapose that to this fast medicine where these forms have to be filled out that takes 38 people and they're so complicated. And as you say, the doctor has 3 minutes to see the patient.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, there's all this paperwork that has to be done.
That's right.
And if you just spent that time that's being spent on that paperwork actually with the patient to make that list, things would be much different.
Yeah. Yeah.
So... How do we? So now I ask you the question that would win a Nobel Prize if you could answer, which is how do we do that?
Well, that's exactly where I'm right now. You know, I wrote this book. I wrote it. The hardback came out last year, about a year ago.
Right.
And of course, you know, I assume whatever would have happened would have happened. But what's happened has exceeded my expectations, but like about a million times. The paperback just came out a few weeks ago, and I did the audio version myself. Which was really interesting, and that just came out. And instead of just having it sort of 1 month or 2 month flash, it's just been gathering incredible amounts of steam. I'm hearing from people all over, not just the country, but the world. So I have been a little bit radicalized, I think, in terms of thinking, the radical part being thinking that we actually can change things, because there is enough desire out there and will out there to make things different, because it wouldn't take very much. That's the interesting part. I'm not advocating throwing away anything that we have of modern medicine, and I'm not the only voice, even among the physician communities. There's been a lot of energy around what one doc has called overdiagnosis, so that we've decreased, you know, in as things become protocolized, measures get set up that are, you know, wider and wider. We catch more and more people on our net. We have more and more people with, you know, non-diagnoses like pre-diabetes or pre-cancer or pre-proto, you know what I mean? So we're treating more and more. So that's not quite answering your question, but I'm giving a little bit of background. So what could we do? Well, the basic thing about slow medicine is I'm pretty sure that it will, in fact, be cheaper. And I think that is its big advantage. Because if we could prove that when doctors have enough time to spend with patients, it's not more expensive, but it's less expensive, it seems to me that in a capitalist society, everybody would jump on that bandwagon. So then the question is, how do we show that it's less expensive? And I've come up with a couple of ideas that I haven't put into practice yet, but once we have this going. So every hospital could, for instance, take a group of their docs and just say, you know what, you can have twice as much time to spend with the patients, and we will follow how much you cost over the next year or two, how much you spend on labs, and how much it costs us to give you that extra time. And let's see if Dr. Sweet's correct. Let's just have a little experiment for the year. I can almost guarantee it, because I'll give you one example. If the low back pain, let's just take low back pain. Low back pain is very costly. We know that most patients with low back pain don't need an MRI. But when you're a doc and you have 10 minutes with a patient, you can't tell which patient that is who needs the MRI and who doesn't. So if you only have 10 minutes, you order an MRI on everybody. Well, MRI costs about $1,800. If you could spend an hour longer with the patient, that hour would cost your hospital $200 max. So every time you got to spend an hour with a low back pain patient, you'd save the hospital $1,600. And that's true throughout the system. It's true in terms of, another example would be chronic patients, of whom we had many at Laguna Honda. On average, they came in on 16 to 25 medications every day. And that was because no doctor ever had the time to really thoroughly examine them and determine that they didn't need this medication that somebody had started them on 8 years ago.
Right.
Well, giving somebody 16 medications is very expensive. I mean, it's hard to get wrap your mind around it, but I figure that's probably cost between $6 and $10 a day per medication, if you take not just the cost of the medication, but the adverse reactions, you know, getting the medicine to the patient, the minor and major reactions that people get on average. So you're giving, and my experience at Laguna Honda was because I had the time to examine patients and then slowly take them off medications they didn't need, that I mostly could take people off 10 to 15 of those medications.
Yeah, that's incredible.
So that's slow. Well, it's natural, though.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly.
My father passed away a year ago. He was 86 mm-hmm. years old, and at the time of his mm-hmm. death, he was on 23 medications.
That's exactly it. Is it 15 to 26 medications? And docs just don't have time to, I mean, and we used to. Honestly, I mean, before I got to Laguna Honda, I'd been practicing in a little community clinic where we had, I mean, it wasn't high tech, but I had enough time. It was tech enough. You know, we had an X-ray machine. I can get labs. But I could see the patient back. So if I got somebody like your dad on 23 medications and I spent enough time with him and figured out he needed those five, you can't take people off 20 medications all at once.
Right.
So you take him off one or two, and you have a son like you, and you say, this is what to watch for. I don't think he needs these medications. And then see you back in a couple of weeks, and you just gradually, it take me about 3-4 months often, sometimes longer, to get people off most of the medications they didn't need. But it was worth it, and it was worth it financially. But, of course, it was also worth it from the health of the patient, because I had patients, and the other docs at Laguna Honda, it wasn't just me, we had lots of patients who came in to Laguna Honda. It was a chronic care facility, so might come in to stay for the rest of their lives and ended up getting discharged in 3 months, 6 months, sometimes 2-3 years, but they would get discharged because taking them off medications they don't need would clear their mind, would clear their GI tract. I mean, it was really quite amazing. So because I think this is actually, I call it the efficiency of inefficiency. It looks like it's inefficient to give doctors and nurses enough time with patients, but I think it will turn out to be efficient. And if we can prove it, we're done. It seems to me.
Well, the book is such a breath of fresh air and is just incredible. It's God's Hotel, A Doctor, A Hospital, and A Pilgrimage to the Heart of Medicine. Victoria Sweet, I wish you all the luck in the world, on your pilgrimage. And I thank you very much for sharing with us this morning.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It was great.
A great pleasure. Thank you. Again, the title of the book, God's Hotel, it's published by Riverhead. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.